Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat!
We get beat!
Boom! Beat! Beat!
Boom! Beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
I think we collectively all kind of screwed it up.
Man, that was tough to watch.
Correct.
Last night, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Welcome to Monday, Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, Mr. TJ Henning, producing and engineering. Hey, the good news is you're closer to spring football for Saturday. The bad news is, as you get closer to March, you've got that downward, oh no, someone's going to barf in front of me feeling on this roller coaster called Nebraska basketball. I don't know how to get more graphic than that. A week ago, you're smiling. You're on a two-game win streak. You beat the Buckeyes. You take down the Nittany Lions. And not saying you're Duke, but you're feeling okay. And then this week, man, it's bowling ball to groin.
Yeah,
with no fair catch.
It kind of has that similar feeling to earlier season, the whole Southern. You know, we lost and we barely squeaked by
Gardner Webb,
Southern. Kind of just like, like, what in God's name is going on?
Mm.
You know, just kind of, this basketball program just feels like it's just kind of wandering around, just kind of aimlessly.
It's that roller coaster.
Yeah, just aimlessly kind of going. I know, but this is, but again, I get the young team, but at what point, you know, do these guys get over this? You know,
at what point do they stop being young?
Young. I mean, you're now 28 games into the season.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't consider. I mean, they're freshmen, but I mean, they're 28 games in. This is, you know, at what point do you stop making excuses and say, hey, you know, mature a little bit, grow up, improve,
be better,
show something.
We'll get into it. Plenty to talk about with Nebraska basketball. Plenty of spring football to dive into. So we'll get you through it on a Monday. Jake Milhuizen, former Husker standout, with us in 15 minutes. It's Monday, so it's Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Coach McBride will join us. We'll talk to him about Coach Diaco, the defense, the things that need to happen this spring for the defense, and get his thoughts as he's down in Arizona. Can join us today on Hail Varsity Radio, 466-3776, 466-3776. Toll-free, 1-800-825-5865, wherever you can hear us along the Hail Varsity Network. Jay will get his thoughts on things keeping defenses up at night in college football, because that's what you want. You want a defense that has an answer for most things. So what are concerns and issues for a defense in college football 2017? How does that relate to Nebraska? Also, Jay has got his ear to the ground with what Nebraska's front three might look like. So we'll discuss that. But more Nebraska basketball. The result and the why last night happened. Tim Miles.
There's a lot of things that went into it tonight, I felt, but there is a reason that this happens. This isn't, you know, by, you know, you only get so lucky so many times. I thought tonight, for instance, our carelessness with the ball led into some easy threes. I thought we lost our discipline defensively several times. To me, several is like six or seven that led to open shots, and they hit three or four threes there.
So they were raining threes, 13 of 26. Nebraska had 18 turnovers. Nebraska had one score in double digits. Nebraska's paint men, guys down low, were awful, blindfolded awful, and Illinois played like a team they're supposed to be, kind of a fringe, middle-of-the-pack bubble team. And you saw what happened last night. Bird, TJ, early on in that game, this thing was uphill. Nebraska didn't look into it. Illinois looked really into it, and Illinois looked like the kids that maybe got held back a year or two in junior high that picked on the new seventh graders in junior high. That's my chocolate milk punk. Mm-hmm. And they took your chocolate milk. Nebraska had no answer. Worst of all, Nebraska didn't appear to care if they had an answer. Here's the chocolate milk. Just take it and leave me away, sir. Thank you. That's how it looked last night. I mean, Nebraska kind of hit a couple of threes to tie it up. And when it went to halftime, I said, how the hell is this thing this close? Illinois was more aggressive, more athletic looking, great defensively with the Nebraska guards, and good at kicking out, going from inside out. Either they'd hit a good jump shot with their big dude, Maverick, or he'd kick it out and there'd be a three. And it just kind of came to body, like, what's up? Is Nebraska shrinking in the moment, knowing how important last night was against Illinois, knowing how important Michigan State was? That's what I want to explain, or try and explain, with the why. It's okay to lose to Sparty. They're good. They may go on a run and end up being a sixth seed. I could see a lot of big things for Michigan State. Illinois, they might pop their coach here in a week. Okay? And they've never played hard for the guy. Out of sheer talent and recruiting base, Illinois has been tournament teams in the past under him. Okay? So Nebraska hired Miles. Illinois hired Gross. And that's been your difference in state talent. So how can you look like this at this point in the year? I don't know if it's stage fright. I don't know if it's empty tank. Or if they're just really, they've played over their skis at different points this year to fool us. I know I spent last week talking about direction and momentum and progress and talent and roster. And I'm not changing all of that because I've seen glimpses of talent and roster. But man, you can't fade and lose out. You can't fade and lose out. And these last four, if you're trying to make an argument to your boss, if there is such a thing as that question mark about job security and returning, you don't have to win out, but you sure as hell can't lose out.
No, absolutely not. You can understand, you can live with a tough loss to Michigan State. You can live with
Wisconsin.
You can live with a tough loss to Maryland.
Which they won.
You know, but it's just baffling that a team can look so good one week. I get it with the inexperience. I understand that, the youth. But this program has yet to have any consistency under Miles. It has been super inconsistent. You could argue that if it's any consistency, it's been bad basketball.
It's been naked. It's been right. Below 500.
Right.
That's
what's been consistent. But you saw progress. You thought you had progress year two. You make the tournament. You come back the next year with damn near everyone. You take a giant step back, and it's never, ever since that moment, it's never, you think you're on the verge of something. You think, oh, man, first three Big Ten games, you know, you're thinking, man, you know, even with that horrible loss early in the season to, you know, a no-name school, I mean, that was quickly erased. But then you get the morrow. You get really, you know, ever since that year two where we only lost one game at home, this team has struggled heavily playing good basketball at home. Mm-hmm. Teams come in here and shoot lights out against us.
Yeah.
We struggle to make anything from, hell, inside of 10 feet half the time, or have any sort of presence from inside of 10 feet. Fans get upset. Fans get antsy. Leaving the arena early. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's, you want to see this obviously succeed. You want to see it build, but it's hard. It's hard when you keep, someone's dangling that dollar bill out in front of you and saying, hey, hey, hey.
Keep dancing.
You know, keep dancing.
You almost got it there.
Yeah, yep. You almost got it. And then, whoop. Not this time. Sorry, suckers.
That's hard to get them over to your table again if you do that.
I know, right? I know. So listen, it's frustrating. I mean, I've always watched the game so far this year. I mean, and luckily this year all the games have been close until these last two performances. I mean, I haven't finished watching these last two games. I stopped watching with 10 minutes left in this game last night. I was like, I'm going to go try to put my son to sleep and I'm going to go watch some movie upstairs, you know, cuz I'm over seeing just total ineptness of offense. And the other team just shoot out of their minds. It's just frustrating because it just seems like, I mean, you can't epitomize shooting yourself in the foot anymore in Nebraska. I mean, hell, there was a time when no one was around us. We had two guys go for the ball, the same rebound, and we knock it out of bounds. It's like, that's just so Nebraska basketball. It's just clumsiness, carelessness.
Oh.
And it's beyond frustrating.
That's what drives me batty. And I went to a sports bar last night with the wife when Junior was at baseball. So she's watching the Thunder, I'm watching Nebraska, and we're both just blue streaking. Because, you know, you have a cocktail, and you want them to do well. Mm-hmm. You do. And it's just 18 turnovers. How many times do I come in here Monday when they lose and just lose my freaking mind because they can't catch or hold a basketball? I lose my mind. Mm-hmm. I understand big guys aren't great with the ball or their feet are... They need time to develop. I get that 6'9", 6'10", 270-pound dudes, they're large humans that it takes a while to get agile.
They're a little clumsy.
Yes. Baby giraffe. Mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. That's your term. But when it's just stupid with the basketball. I mean, it reminded me of watching my kid take care of the ball. He's 10. I yell at him. Here is about... kind of about just the point blank question that was asked last night post game about, you know, are the wheels coming off? Is the season crumbling? Cut six here, TJ, Tim Miles.
I don't worry about shutting down. To me, we have three Illinois kids who are dying to play well and try to do too much. You know, Roby tried to do too much early and made some defensive errors too. Edward, you know, I mean, tried to drive two or three times, which, you know, we seem to do sometimes, but not consecutively like that in a game. Ask him, Ed, what's going on? I'm trying to make a play. You know, well, sometimes some other, you know, emotional things get in the way too. These guys won't quit and they won't fall apart. Now, we played poorly and it's my job to get us playing better immediately and get ready for Minnesota because Minnesota's really good and so is Michigan. Doesn't get easier.
No, it doesn't, but that's a fair point. And you ask coaches, Jay, you can speak to this with teammates that play, either where mom or dad's coming to watch them or they're going to their home state. Mm-hmm. Guys will absolutely press. And you look at some of the worst games this year for your Illinois 3, and I'm talking Morrow, and I'm talking Glenn, and I'm talking Isaiah. Both Northwestern games, well, Ed was there for one, but you get my point. Both Northwestern games and the Illinois game. And playing your home state, either guys you grew up playing against or you know of and they know of you, one pitfall with that is trying to do too much, show them up. And Coach Miles kind of alluded to that in that comment. I think it's very fair. Talked to Coach Barnett about this. Anytime Colorado would play out west or had a West Coast team coming in, he'd freak out how his quarterback was going to play because he's going to try and do too much and usually had a bad game. Mm-hmm. Just got to minimize the damage. Guys wanting to do too much against their home state team.
It's I get it. I understand it. I've never been in that situation to where trying to do too much. I don't know. I was just always focused on doing what my job was. And I mean, hell, if you bust your ass every day, every game, and don't get caught up in that stuff, I don't know. Why do you think you have to do more? Shouldn't you be doing your ultimate best
anyway?
You know, I don't know. I kind of can see that as an excuse, which I keep seeing more and more for this basketball team anymore. I don't know. For how many times this year I feel like this basketball program has kind of been at a crossroads. Like multiple times this year, you kind of feel like they're over it, and it's like they're back again, and then they're kind of over it again, and now it's like, hell. you know, what are they going to do? You know, what's going to happen? Because I tell you what, I know you put forth the effort, you put in the work, you do what's necessary. But I tell you what, when things aren't working, sometimes it becomes ridiculously hard to keep doing. It's the insanity. Keep doing the same old things and expecting different results. We thought Coach Miles switched a little bit this year, and I gave him credit for that. And you kind of saw that good play, but man, you know, now we're at this crossroads again. There's only two games left, and then you get one in the Big Ten tournament. You know, so what? Not much change can be left. You know, what's left to be saved? So it's really going to be interesting these next two games, what these guys are trying to accomplish and where they're at mentally.
Michael Jacobson has been a vocal leader, cut nine here, TJ. His response when, you know, what happened? What happened? Why did you guys perform like this last night? Michael Jacobson, cut nine.
I don't know. It's hard to say how many times can somebody, you know, a team have a good night against you. I guess you got to start looking at yourselves, I guess, and look in the mirror a little bit.
There you go. Look yourself in the mirror. Accountability. And I would say all three of the bigs need to do that. Because you're not helping Ty out. Glenn Watson's a whole segment by himself. Bless his heart. We'll get into it as Jake Mielheisen next on Hail Varsity Radio.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, who backed up, Jay? Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Don't forget, in about 35, 40 minutes, we'll get your best questions in either HailVarsity.com or on Twitter to @Schmidt_radio, @HailVarcity, or @JMoore44 to ask Charlie Coach McBride with us as spring ball around the corner. Husker standout, the pride of Lincoln Southeast. Jake Mielheisen with us to talk some Nebraska basketball. Jay was able to get away from the TV and spend family time. Some of us were throwing, broken beer bottles at the TV. That being me and my wife, Jake Mielheisen with us. Jake, how do you explain last night?
Oh, that was brutal.
just simple as that. Brutal.
We didn't play good in the first half, but we're down two at half. You know, right. I felt, you know, we're going to make some adjustments and, play better the second half and win. But, you know, then I think what happened in the first half with the big fella down low, I can't think of his name, number 22 for Illinois, when he dominated or started off well in the first half,
Maverick,
we kept sinking down, and they had open shots, but they made them, and it just we just didn't have the, I don't know if you want to call it the intensity or whatever you're going to call it, offensively to get to the bucket, and we just settled for threes. It just wasn't a good game.
It wasn't, and maybe some of us, because of early season success in Big Ten play, expect too much, expect a different result. You beat Purdue. You take Wisconsin to overtime. You beat Maryland. You beat Indiana. That's really not the norm. It's not been the norm anyway, but you do that in 1 year together. You anticipate that, okay, it's one thing to lose to Sparty. They're good. They're talented. Number two recruiting class. 20 straight years, theoretically, of NCAA tournament appearances, if you count this year. Fine, you lose to Sparty. But when a team like Illinois comes in that's got talent, but they tend to underachieve. You don't know where they're going to be. Are Nebraska fans expecting too much from this team to beat a team like Illinois at home, coming off a loss against Michigan State? What's your expectation as a former player? Night in, night out.
Yeah, I don't think that anybody's expecting too much out of these guys. I mean, they, like you said, look at the list of teams that they've beat, they've played with, and you can even throw, you know, UCLA in that mix. They played with UCLA the entire game. It ended up being a 12 or 13 point game, but it was much closer than that. So I think with this team, I think we're talented enough to play and beat anybody. But with us being young, we also fall into playing up to our competition and playing down to our competition, I think. And you see that, you saw that against Illinois last night to where, yeah, we're favored by, I think Vegas had them favored by 3 or 4. We're supposed to win this game, and for whatever reason, they didn't come out with that that aggressive mentality. Like, if you watched them play in the Purdue game, you know, guys are flying around the floor, aggressive double teams, aggressive offensively, just a different sort of mentality to where they need to have that same mentality, whether they're playing Northwest, New Hampshire State, or UCLA. It just hasn't been that way.
Jake, I remember asking you this going into the season about the lack of outside shooting. That was a big worrisome problem for me. As the season has gone on, has that just really creeped itself out there for everyone to see just because of how everybody is just packing the defensive in the paint there?
Oh, definitely. And you can see that, you know, even when guys are making the right basketball plays and they're swinging the ball around the perimeter and you have a guy standing out there, whether it be, you know, Jacobson or Taylor or, you know, one of those guys that if they had the ability to shoot those open, you know, 18, 19, 20-footer, that's going to spread the defense out and give more driving lanes for guys like Ty and guys like Glenn. And even Glenn and Ty have been inconsistent shooting, so you don't really have that guy that you can say, yeah, he's – if your life depends on it, who are you going to have shoot that shot? Is it going to be McVay? Is it going to be Horn? I don't know who you'd pick. I think we have some capable three-point shooters. I just think it's been inconsistent this year.
Do you have an explanation or a theory as to the roller coaster for Glenn Watson? I mean, youth is the answer, but it seems like it doesn't matter that he's only a sophomore when you look at performances against Iowa, against Indiana, and not just the fact that he scores 20-plus, but the fact that his shot taking is 15 or above. These guys scored a combined 10 points the last two games. He took 6 shots on Sunday. What's up with Glenn, and what needs to be his role?
I think other teams, especially in this latter half of the Big Ten, you know, you're playing some teams twice now, mm-hmm. and they have enough tape to know what his tendencies are. And if you watch a lot of the games, like kind of like what TJ said, they're, you know, teams are packing in their defense a lot more, and they're forcing him to go left, and he doesn't like going left near as much as he likes to go to the right. It's forcing him to either A, not take shots like he had, like last night, only took 6 shots, or it's forcing him into tough shots and he's not making them. So then once he starts missing, he's not taking as many, and just not getting the flow of the offense. So I think it's you know, partly teams just the scouting and some of his shot selection has kind of deterred him from scoring a lot of points.
Hey, Jake, with the 3 big men we have, I feel like Jordy might have the best around the rim offensive moves in the post, and he's only played basketball for 5 years now as a true freshman. Would you agree with that? Why do you think guys like Morrow and Jacobson are struggling to do things around the rim?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, on the second part of your question with Morrow and Jacobson, their size.
Because they're undersized.
You know, yeah, they're undersized, especially like last night with Illinois having some pretty pretty tall big guys down mm-hmm. there. Their size just bothered them. They didn't really have to really jump to affect their shots. But where Jordy, and he's able to get inside get into their bodies, bounce them off them a little bit, and make some of those inside shots. But what I've been impressed with, if you watched early on last night, some of those passes that were thrown to Jordy, those weren't easy catches. And he was snagging them down and was able to make a move and make some shots. But he's improved a great deal this year. You know, I was asked the other night, too, why hasn't Morrow and Jordy played together yet? And I wouldn't mind seeing that combo. Kind of shifting Morrow to the 4 a little bit and having Jordy at the 5. But he's had the most success scoring down low for sure.
Jake Milheisen with us, Hail Varsity Radio. I just went nuts for the last 15 minutes about big men and their turnovers, okay? So a lot of times Jordy got stripped, and then you had some forced plays by Ed. And this isn't personal with those two kids. It's just what I saw. And Nebraska overall, Jake, not being strong with the basketball, and that's been an issue this season with teams that have been aggressive. Was it as simple as the Illini just saying, we're going to take the fight to you and see if Nebraska kind of backs off?
Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, I wanted to throw some things, you know, last night too, but I think it was just a lot of carelessness with the basketball,
sure.
Whether, you know, just like I said earlier, Jordy had to make some tough catches. Well, those passes shouldn't have been that far off.
Sure.
So, you know, you throw guys off their balance, and then it just kind of snowballs from there within an offensive possession. And you saw that last night where, you know, a bobbled handoff or a little high pass, and then things kind of get, you know, clustered into one corner, and then the whole flow of the offense is out, and then you turn the ball over because you're just – the spacing's bad. It just kind of goes downhill from there. So I just think the small things, just being fundamental, you know, making the easy pass instead of trying to make a difficult one. And we're I don't know what it is, but we're just not handling the ball as crisp and as clean as we have in the games that we've won. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's just a lack of focus or what, but yeah, the turnover, we can't have the turnovers. We don't have the scoring power to offset those turnovers like some teams do.
Hey, Jake, so one cool thing last night was Alex March made his return, 11 years since he's been back in Lincoln. You were a senior when he was a freshman. Any idea when you were playing with him that one year that he would become the fifth all-time leading scorer in Nebraska basketball history?
I mean, I knew he was good, but I you know, you can never know it with some of those big guys, especially with how their body holds it up. But yeah, he was a heck of a good player, and I forgot. I haven't seen him obviously for a long time, and I forgot how big that dude is. I mean, he's a big guy, and it looks like he's leaned up too. But you know, with Alex, he's a super good guy, super hard worker. So it didn't surprise me that he ended up being the fifth time all-time leading scorer. But you just never know with big guys and how their body holds up throughout their career.
Jake, as we say goodbye and thanks for spending a few minutes with us today, with Tim Miles last week, we spent a lot of time defending the progress that Miles has had. And I know there's been some tough under 500 seasons, and then you have the tournament run. Do you think it's important to finish close to 500 this year? Obviously, you don't want to end a year on a losing streak or you lose out. But do you think he's safe?
I think he's safe. I think he should be safe. I think he's got the program going in the right direction. I know that sounds a little strange with the record this year and his overall record, but
yeah.
I think with the players that he has in place, him going into his sixth year, I think that he has the pieces to have a really good run here the next couple years. I know this year didn't go as planned. I know he had this year planned to be a really good year with the schedule that he had scheduled. But I think we have the pieces right now, and from the youth, and we'll have some veterans next year, some transfers coming in. I think he's got things lining up pretty good for us.
Jake, always appreciate your insight and your candor. Thanks for giving us a few minutes today on Hail Varsity, bud.
Yep, thanks, guys. Appreciate
Take care.
It.
Awesome. Jake Muehlheisen with us, Hail Varsity Radio. And good stuff from him. There's his thoughts. And we'll get into some spring football talk here in a couple of minutes. But you look at just that feeling you get, and you can't knee-jerk. It's not one result or even a couple results, good or bad. It's kind of body of work is how I would look at things. But you can be swayed with just how bad a loss last night was, how bad you've looked the last couple, and to be flat out, you've lost 10 of 13.
Yeah, there's they always kind of, again, dangle that dollar out there.
Mm-hmm.
They keep dangling it, but then just when
Dr. Feelgood's on the loudspeakers,
right,
and that dollar bill's being
mm-hmm.
dangled.
Mm-hmm. And just when, ooh.
It's an 80s reference, TJ.
That's why I don't get it.
It's a Motley Crue song, TJ.
That's why I don't get it.
I'm going to just leave that alone. Spring football! We'll dive into it next on Hail Varsity.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 25 minutes away, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. If you're out with friends or family and you have a couple of drinks and someone offers you a ride home, but you say, I'm okay, no thanks. Mixing alcohol and driving, never a good thing. You can do that, and here's the results. You can take a life, can lose yours, you can be arrested, you can go to jail, can lose your license, can pay fines and legal fees. Any way you look at it, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Spring football starts Saturday. Coach Riley will meet the media on Wednesday. We'll talk spring football and 3-4 defense with Coach McBride. We'll talk 3-4 defense right now with Mr. Blackshirt Jay Moore. Jay, I got to ask you here, first and foremost, when you look at the world of college football, you look at the college football playoff, you look at the teams vying for the New Year's Day Six, you look at the Big Ten as a whole, and even kind of break it down, you look at where Nebraska's at in the Big Ten West. And there's a lot of question marks about the West. You got Minnesota, new football coach, new quarterback. Iowa, new quarterback. Mm-hmm. Minnesota and Iowa, two pretty physical teams at the line of scrimmage. Northwestern, a lot of skill guys, pretty good. Thorson's back at quarterback. The Illini, new quarterback, they're a tire fire. Okay, Purdue, really good quarterback, awful surrounding cast. And new coach. Mm-hmm. And then there's Nebraska. New quarterback. Better offensive line, it looks like, because you're together again. And then the defensive side, new coordinator, new safeties coach, new cornerbacks coach, and new system. What is going to keep defenses up at night in college football in 2017, based on what you've seen the last 3 to 5 years? And what's Nebraska going to gear to stop? To win the West, to win the Big Ten, beyond. Mm-hmm. Got to crawl before you walk, so let's talk West. What's an issue? What does Nebraska got to be better at defensively? Doesn't matter if they're running 4-3, 3-4. What do they got to do?
Well, there's always
there's
improve.
Like 50 answers.
Right.
But
you can
pick
always
a couple that,
you can always
that,
improve.
That irk you.
Getting after the quarterback consistently. Now, I know you're not going to get home every time. Now, I'm not talking about Nebraska needs to raise their stats for sacks. I think sacks are great for individual statistics, and it makes you feel good about yourself as a pass rusher. But really, you look at it overall, I mean, you know, what, my junior year in 05, we led the nation in sacks. But
you said like 56.
Right, but again, it's kind of when those sacks coming. I think leading the nation in sacks on third down, much better. You know,
right.
If that was
give me situational
right,
proof.
Exactly. I don't know if that there's a sack or not, or there's a stat for that or not. I'm sure there is, which how much information there is now.
DJ, get on it.
but that's the biggest thing for me is you got to be able to create pressure on the quarterback. You have to be able to manufacture it. You got to disguise it. You have to do those different things. For me, that's always going to be number one because, and again, it doesn't have to be a sack. It could be QB pressures on third down. It could be QB hits on third down. You have to be around him. I mean, just compress the pocket. Too many times we're not even doing that. We'll get a decent rush out of someone, but the other three or four guys, whoever it may be, don't really do it, and the quarterback's able to step up, slide out of the pocket, make a decent throw, and move the chains a lot of times. And you know what? Sometimes you're at the blitz. That's great. That's just fine. And in the 3-4, you're able to disguise some things. But continually getting after the quarterback consistently, that has to be more efficient. That has to be better. That will improve your defense overall drastically. Getting after him with less, you know, if you don't get there within 3 seconds, you're screwed anymore. In football, in NFL, in college, in high school, if the quarterback has 3 seconds, a defense, you good luck because that's,
you're completing the pass.
You're doing something to that offense is able to do something to benefit them in that 3 seconds, whether it's throw it away, complete a short pass, you know, do something. But you have to get there within 3 seconds. And we just haven't been able to do that consistently.
So, number one for you, highlighted, italicized, underlined, is get after the quarterback, disrupt rhythm, just make the quarterback uncomfortable. Hence, that's part of the reason the personnel matchup, that you're shifting to a 3-4 because of what you got in the cupboard. And the you just like it. It lines up to do this. That's great. Theoretically, you're going to be better at getting to the quarterback, or you'll have more options to do so out of this 3-4 once you figure out who is going where and who you like to come off the edge.
Correct.
Now, you've played in the 3-4. Is it solely just those two outside backers? I know you can blitz the inside guys, but talk to me about the three down linemen. What's a fair expectation to get pressure after the quarterback from the three down linemen?
Well, you can do a lot. Those guys, whether it's the nose, whether it's – because realistically what's going to happen – now this is my experience in a 3-4. When it was obvious passing down, when they were bringing in, you know
– four wide, three
exactly,
wide, shotgun,
you're,
down
you,
back.
We'd go to a four, we go to a four down front.
Okay.
Those two defensive tackles go down to, you know, become – defensive, you know, the five techniques or the four techniques that are essentially those end guys,
the
defensive
hybrid
ends.
Your defensive ends
in the three four. You know, usually what you had was your nose left because he's 350 and a few extra biscuits, and then
he's not getting anywhere.
Yeah,
fast.
No. He's running to the sideline fast because he's excited to get off the field and catch some air. That's where he's running fast. So you're bringing in two more guys. So you're now, you know, you're playing out a three technique or whatever, or over the nose in a shade, but they're leaner, quicker, and then those your two outside guys are now putting their hands in the dirt, and you're able to get after them. And you don't have to, you can, and you can do a lot of cool things too. I mean, you've seen the Steelers and the Ravens in the past where
even Denver,
you're,
right?
You're able to stand all four of your guys up or three guys up and kind of walk around and have, like Nebraska used to do it with Randy Gregory, have that spinner,
okay,
you know, where he would go, he'd be kind of, you know, one play he'd be towards the call side B gap, and then as the ball snapped, he kind of roams around and he's rushing the completely opposite. You can do all sorts of different things. I would imagine with this system, you're able to line up and attack offenses like that. But you can, I mean, if you want, I don't know enough about Diaco's, what he's done in the past. You know, I'd like to see, go back and look at what he did with Notre Dame, you know, when they went undefeated that year, you know, what he did with his guys, because he had some freaks now in that defense, you know, the Tuits and those guys, and he had some players up there. So it'd be interesting to see what he was doing on those third and six and beyond downs. Was he using those three guys and still using outside, you know, a stand-up guy, or was he – I'm sure he'd had multiple looks without a doubt. So you can do everything. Again, that's what the beauty of this 3-4 thing is, the different looks and the multiple looks you can do and be really creative to confuse these offenses.
Well, the versatility is so key. When we come back, I want to get into containing a mobile quarterback. I agree with you to get after the passer. You got a guy like Jalen Hurts. You got a guy like Watson who's going to go to the NFL. But those are the quarterbacks that have Baker Mayfield, guys that are mobile enough. Get after the mobile quarterback, limit what they do rushing against you, and limit them extending plays. We'll hit on that. So we get ready for spring. Hail Varsity continues.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Coming up, your chance at Willie Nelson tickets. That's right. Willie Nelson's coming to the great state of Nebraska in Lincoln.
June 7th.
In June.
Pinewood Bowl.
We will have left-handed trivia for you. That's not a shot at left-handed cigarette smokers. Let's say, no, it's left-handed trivia because Willie's left-handed. So is Jimi Hendrix. So you want to go see Willie Nelson June 7th. You got to get the trivia correct. We'll have trivia for you in the 525.
Does it come with any brownies?
No, no brownies with these tickets because that's illegal.
I did
see where Willie lives this summer.
Really?
Yeah.
Down in Austin?
That he lives in Lake Travis area.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the gate to where you could go to Willie's home. We drove by there. We weren't stalking or anything.
No.
Just big bonfire. And
right.
That'd be kind of cool. Willie Nelson, always on my mind.
Good stuff. That's one of his songs, TJ.
Okay, I was going to say, is that a song name, or are you always just thinking about Willie?
I'm not a big Willie Nelson fan, I'm going to tell you that much.
You know what I give Willie credit for? The guts to wear leather and have the pigtails.
Yeah.
The braided pigtails.
Right, right. He has like the bandana. Biker hippie look kind of going. Yeah.
Yes, that's a great call. The biker hippie look.
Yeah, if there's such a thing.
No, there is. And he's performed with some of the greats, and he is one of the greats. So your chance at Willie Nelson tickets next hour with left-handed trivia on Hail Varsity and ESPN. Okay, mobile quarterbacks, upside, downside with a 3-4 against mobile quarterbacks. We don't have enough time to go completely in-depth on this, but we can get into it with Charlie a little bit here in 10 minutes, too. But your take on it, what do you think? Does it
expose,
enhance your ability?
I think it
does.
As
a defense?
I think you, with 3-4, you become a little more athletic. You get the extra guy who can move, get a little extra speed. That's what Nebraska's missed, you know. And Charlie's been saying this for years, you know, not even years, for the last, well, hell, probably for years. You know, we have that guy that, you know, you just have, other than Randy Gregory, you just have that great guy that could, you know, gets that offensive tackles, you know, uncomfortable. We don't have guys that are, you know, aren't threatened by their get up and their speed. The tackles get pretty comfortable. They can kind of sit and wait. I mean, yeah, you're going to win sometimes, but the speed is the biggest fear of offensive tackles. I tell you what, when you have to get those big boys moving back, you can do whatever you want to them. You can stick with the speed. You can turn to power. You can do whatever, because like we talked earlier, the big boys in basketball, they're clumsy. Once they get going, it's hard to stop. So that's, you got to get that speed, get that athleticism, and that helps. That helps to do, it helps to, because, and again, with mobile quarterbacks, a lot of times if they're three down rushers, again, you can kind of say, you know what, don't get too crazy. Stay within the system, stay within the pocket.
Your job to contain,
right?
Let the gazelle.
Yeah, usually have one guy, one end. Again, you're only having one guy rush because the other guy's usually dropping in coverage, but you're able to do, again, you can tweak it so much. That's just, again, I repeat myself, but the beauty of it.
No, you're good. I can't wait to get into that. Ask Charlie. You can email us or message board us. Question me up for Charlie McBride. Coach McBride next on Hail Varsity.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get big, big.
We get big, big.
Boom, big, big.
Boom, big, big.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Henning, producing engineering. In about 25 minutes, your chance to win Willie Nelson tickets. He'll be in Nebraska, in Lincoln specifically, June 7th. So Willie Nelson is going to answer the left-handed trivia. Welcome in, Mr. Blackshirt Mondays with Charlie. Charlie McBride, brought to you by your friends at Emeritus. No one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus, they'll help you find that focus. Of course, Emeritus, helping you protect loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also protecting your employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans. Supporting Nebraska athletics and keeping their promises for 130 years and counting. Emeritus, emeritus.com. Coach, how are we doing today?
I'm having a wonderful time. Sitting here, a little bit of rain, and just neat. Nice time.
Okay, so you're getting a little, you're staying out of the rain, you might melt.
Well, I'm driving. I'm getting to the end of the drive, though. I was having the dentist look in my mouth to see if I still had any teeth left.
Well, there you go. I hope the answer was what you wanted. Coach, spring football gets going on Saturday. Nebraska and Coach Riley meet the press on Wednesday. And there's so much to get into with
the 3-4 defense. I want to go there. And with the defense this spring, what's kind of the evaluation process? At least take us back for your scheme switch. How long and how many practices would you give a guy in the spring to kind of determine where he best fit for the defense? What was that timeline like for you?
Well, I don't, you know, the timeline is, you know, kind of, we went with kind of what they were picking up, and pretty much we had a schedule definitely made, mm-hmm. and we tried to get it in every day regardless of, you know, whether we were able to cover it 100% and just find out if they could remember day to day, just try to find how they were picking things up. But I think one time, once you get into it, especially with a new defense, it's really kind of a little bit of a complicated issue because you don't have the people that you, you know, that are going to maybe play the position that they're lining up in right now.
Okay.
So that's going to be the biggest thing is to pick the personnel. And I think that'll, you know, that'll be one of the first things they'll want to try to do. A little bit, the secondary is not quite as hard, but it is with backers and whether they're inside, outside, whatever, you know, that's, and defensive linemen, who's going to play right side, left side. It's funny because I always used, people used to laugh at me, and I'd say to kids, what's your strong eye? Mm. I don't know. Well, there's a way to figure it out, and that's an old baseball trick to find out whether your left eye or your right eye is your strong eye. And I used to always try to go through that just in the meeting before I started, because if your left eye is a strong eye, then you need to be on the right side if you can. Mm-hmm. It works that way. And vice versa on the other side. If your right eye is a strong one, you need to be on the left side. So it's kind of stupid, but it really, I think, makes some sense. And we did it with the defensive ends, too. But that, those simple little things that we had to do to get ready just to go out to spring ball, again, would give us a little bit of a start. And then they've all been talking to coaches. I mean, the coaches have looked at their film, they've looked at them playing, and they've probably got a pretty good idea who goes where.
Coach, looking at it with Coach Diaco, I want to know how you're probably going to learn really quick how much patience he has this spring. You know
how much patience?
Yeah.
How much patience?
Yeah, you always
gonna have that.
Well, yeah, I'm saying. Yeah. No, I'm just saying you're gonna learn real quick what is this patience like, because you're not only are you trying to get your coaches to learn a new system, you got your whole defense trying to learn a new system and trying to make sure you get enough time with an offensive minded head coach to make sure you get your scheme down. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, the way I did things myself was, I'm very patient myself when I'm teaching, but I don't let them know that because they think they're getting trashed. But, I mean, I just, you know, sometimes you have to push it a little bit harder to make them think deeper and deeper. And, but I always kind of looked at it, put the pressure on them a little bit. But you got to be patient with some of the young players, some of the older guys that know the tricks and some of that a little bit. You know, they'll have to change. And I think there's going to be more two-depth and then maybe in this defense. And that's going to be, you know, that's going to take a little work and practice. And one of those things is going to have to be live work. So, but I think as far as their scheme goes, I really think that they have it down what they want to get in the spring right now. Mm-hmm. And somehow they will get it all that in. And then it'll be a matter of, who remembers what when they come back.
Right.
But now I think they can meet in the summer, so it's probably going to be to their advantage.
Mondays with Charlie, Coach Charlie McBride with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Mr. Blackshirt. Coach, with the scheme switch and that personnel, it's a talking point, a focal point. It's important this spring. Is there a guy that you see returning at Nebraska that can have kind of an Ed Stewart effect? And I bring up Ed because he's a guy that you guys brought in as a safety, a Chicago kid, and you put him at middle linebacker, and he was so important when it came to coverage and knowing the defense and just being great. Is there a guy like that on this roster? Not asking you if there's an Ed Stewart there, but a guy that can switch spots and help this transition.
Well, what we did when we recruited, we looked at that aspect. And I know when I told Ed Stewart he was going to go to linebacker, I thought he was going to transfer.
Mm.
You know, he really wanted to be a safety. And he just was a step slow. And when he got into it, of course, he ended up being an All-American. But, you know, Ed was a kind of a guy that you might take a safety. Let's look at Gary from last year.
Okay.
He's a guy that, you know, with his speed and things like that, I don't know the position, but any one of those four linebacker positions, I think I, you know, that guy would have a good chance. We'd be asking for him to play at linebacker.
Okay.
You know, that kind of stuff. But I think the guys that they find maybe at safety,
mm-hmm,
that are bigger, a little bigger, and got some speed would be probably pretty good outside linebackers and because they got to be able to drop and they have to be able to do some things that but mainly it's the speed off the edge.
Coach, what's the, if you're coaching today, and Jay and I were talking about this last hour, but what's the number one thing in college football right now, in your opinion, keeping defensive coordinators up at night?
Well, I think it's a multiple formations and shifts and things like that where they're trying to match up. It's hard to tell because you don't play these teams over and over and over and over again,
right,
like they do twice in the NFL and stuff like that. But, you know, I think that, you know, it's really important that when you do, you know, plan something, that you try to do it so that your players are actually, you know that they're going to have confidence in doing what they're doing. Sometimes you feel like maybe we have a little too much in, you know, on a week when they have a lot of different shifts and formations and things like that. You know, those are stuff that has to be done in the meeting room. I mean, in your individual meeting room and then walkthroughs on the field. And so if they have walkthroughs before practice even starts as part of their meeting time, that's kind of what we did.
Coach, you've had chances to talk with Coach Riley. How excited is he for this spring and this defensive shift?
I never talked to him when he wasn't fired up about something. he's a goer now. I mean, you just wind him up in the morning and he'll go forever. But you know, he's always excited about it. And I think this is going to put, you know, anytime you do something new, that it's kind of exciting. It's mm-hmm. kind of, you're learning. You know, some of these, you know, if I was a coach that didn't play the 3-4 ever before and now I'm going to have to do it, to me that would be great because I'd be learning a whole new scheme, a whole new thing, and I think it goes for the coaches themselves. I know that a couple of them have worked together to have a better idea, but, you know, you get John and some of these younger coaches that haven't maybe been in that particular situation, they're just doing nothing but enhancing their ability to coach football and be able to play both two different schemes. I think that's tremendous.
Coach, got to ask you too about Coach Perella and his knowledge and background and how good he was in the NFL with the 3-4. From a technique standpoint, is there a lot of different techniques that he has to talk to guys about based on just the three down linemen? I mean, learning the new or different techniques to go along with his defense. How big a challenge is that?
Well, let's put a guy over the guard. Most of the blocking schemes, if you put him over the tackle, are pretty much the same thing. You're going to get a down block from the tight end, where if you're inside, you're going to get a down block from the tackle. And playing inside in a what we call the two technique head up on the guard would be more guard pulling stuff than maybe a little bit of center pulling stuff. You'd see more of that than you would at tackle. But I think at tackle, the one big thing is for the rush ends or the guy or the outside backers, that you get a guy that can really get a push up the field. I think that's the biggest thing in this defense, is you get people that can really unload on somebody And that really helps those edge people out a lot. And sometimes they get nervous and they start chipping on the wrong guy, you know, picking up the wrong guy, and then you'll cut one of those inside guys loose. But I think the more grass you can take away from them, whether it, even in the run or the pass, is a bonus.
All right, Coach, we're doing a new kind of a mailbag type questionnaire each week. Listeners will send in a question for you either via the Hail Varsity message board or on social media. And I don't have the gentleman's real name, but his call signal is third largest city, okay? He wanted to ask you this question. You got to pick your poison. Would you rather face a smash-mouth football team, kind of a bruising-type, clock-controlling team, 80-20 run to pass, or kind of the spread-out Washington State air raid / Florida fun and gun? What offense would you least like to take on?
Well, I think one thing is we always emphasize to stop the run first. And when I mentioned that when we played Miami, and everybody laughed at me.
Right.
But the thing is that's what we wanted to do. I don't think they ran the ball in the second half, period.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, you get the oldest saying, you get one-dimensional deal. Mm-hmm. I'd rather go against Smash Mouth and see who the good players are.
Okay.
I agree.
You know, but I think you take a lot of pressure off the secondary when you have that kind of a running game or that kind of an offense.
Okay. So you'd rather say, all right, let's roll our sleeves up and start dancing. I like that. So you'd rather go against a Smash Mouth team. Okay.
Yeah, but you're probably not going to get that necessarily. If you're going to get it, you'll get it more in the Big Ten than you will anywhere else.
Yeah, no, absolutely. More pro style for sure. Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Coach, we'll be a couple of days with spring football under our belt when we talk next week. We'll give you a shot then, and thanks for taking time as always today.
Okay, guys. Have a nice day.
You too, Coach.
I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Coach.
Okay.
Don't melt. Take care. There he goes. Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride on Hail Varsity Radio. And we've got a hashtag started, Ask Charlie, in third largest city. Pick your poison. And you want a run-heavy team, or do you want kind of a Washington State air raid type? And you said, give me the running team.
I agree. Playing pro-style, those pro-style offenses, I enjoyed that much, much more. You know, you go playing the Texas Techs and the, I don't know, the Dink and Dunks and that kind of.
You got to chase all these little dudes
right,
around.
Right, it's just. You know, it's just the trickeration and, you know what, just line up, let's go, you know, two backs, a tight end, hell, two tight ends sometimes, let's get after it. Let's see who can play with good pad level and be physical and get after a little bit instead of, you know, sometimes you got to be well conditioned, but it's like, okay, this whole basketball grass that football's been coming, I mean, if I'm an OC now, I get it. So many schools down in Texas are doing it, mm-hmm. and then it kind of just
the
spreads.
World's doing
right.
It.
And it just, the 7-on-7 leagues, everything like that, it's just kind of going that way. But, man, give me that pro style, that 70-30, 80-20 type of teams, and let's figure out who got some bad mothers up front.
Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning will dive into that front three. And what Jay Moore's been hearing, who are the names, where are they going? At least initially, as spring ball gets underway, more spring football 2017 thoughts. Big thanks to Charlie McBride, brought to you by Emeritus. Your chance next segment also at Willie Nelson Tickets. Thanks for being with us on a Monday. Hail Varsity Radio continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Thanks to Charlie McBride. Miss any part of Hail Varsity, can log on hailvarsity.com. Go to the radio tab, go to iTunes, or go to the ESPN 1480 app. It is free to download. It's got a great podcast area for you. about Sauter Heyman and Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. 1 carat diamonds. Angle it this way. It's $100 a month. You'll make her smile. But just tell her it's a spring football gift. You're celebrating. You wanted her to be included. And no time like the present to go explore and find that 1 carat diamond at Sauter Heyman. Just $100 a month. See stores for details. Limited time offer with approved credit. You can go find Rick at 12th and O downtown Lincoln. South Point Pavilion in Lincoln, Rod West in Grand Island. And 1 carat diamonds, $100 a month. Sounds like a winner. Let's talk some spring football and get into the down linemen. Bird, you're hearing what with the three down linemen? Who is where?
Yeah, I mean, just with seeing some guys this weekend at the Team Jack Gala and just kind of talking and just knowing some guys around the program, you know, it sounds like Freedom would kind of be go kind of away from the call, away from the strength, kind of be
a weak
side,
end. But
defensive end. They want him to bulk up a little bit. One of I get Carlos and Khalil confused. One of those guys, Carlos, will probably more towards the call. And then as of right now, by sounds of it, they want Mick to play the nose, Mick Stoltenberg, which I 100% disagree with. I think it's a horrible idea, but now I don't know who else they have right now. Now, I think a guy like Peyton Newell seems like a great spot for him, but again, I don't know. You know, Peyton hasn't played a lot. You know, maybe he's just not.
Mick's played quite a few snaps. But
yeah, no, without a doubt. I'm not saying Mick can't do it. I just don't like the size. I mean, you got to be a little shorter. You got to be a little squatty. It's the fire hydrant. And Mick's built like me. He's 6'5", maybe 6'6". I mean, the only problem there is when you get that center and that guard, it's just you're taking on doubles. You're trying to eat people, those blockers up. They get underneath you. And I know you're eating them up. You're not too worried. You know, I'm not hugely concerned with trying to penetrate. You're not trying to do that in that position. But you got to be able to stalemate at that spot, whether at a single or a double. And you still got to be able to get off the block and make a play. You know, I think of guys.
You're
like,
wasting his athleticism putting him there.
I don't know about athleticism. I mean, I think straight line he's okay, but he's a little stiff. So okay. I'm not. But again, I just see him as a perfect build for that 4-eye, 4-technique, 5-technique as one of the defensive ends in the 3-4. Now, again, maybe they're kind of just forced in this position because, yeah, Mick's one of our biggest, one of our strongest. But again, if he does not play with the correct pad level, I don't care how big and how strong a guy is, you're not going to win in that position. I don't care who you're going against. You're going to be able to get guys underneath his chin. He's going to struggle getting guys off of him. That's what I'm concerned about is, again, not concerned with him making plays in the backfield. That's not going to happen. I need guys to be able to stalemate, hold up a couple guys, line of scrimmage, let those linebackers kind of do their thing. So I don't know. If they had someone else fit for that, obviously he'd be thrown in there like a guy like Peyton. No, I just think the way he's built, that's a prototypical type. But maybe they're just, you know, we haven't seen much of Peyton yet. Maybe they're just kind of, we don't know yet. Maybe if he shows something in the spring, then we can move Mick out to the outsides. But I think their hands is kind of forced in this situation, and I get that. I totally understand that. But I just think you are doing a disservice to the kid and what he has. I think you're setting him up for failure. Unless they can get him playing with the right pedal, because he was getting blown off the ball as a 3-technique, where I still didn't like him at the position because he's still too long and tall. But it is what it is. That's what they're trying to do.
So it's more body type that works against him than anything.
100%. 100%. It's just tough, man. You are – it's just hard. It's really tough when you're in that position because initially at the point of attack, it's not the guard. He can play with good technique, but eventually he's going to get up to be able to see and find the ball. And guess who's coming? Right underneath his armpit is a tackle coming down on a double team or something like that. And he just gets blown out and he gets kicked out of the club. Like no white t-shirts in the club, homie. Like you're out. Like completely kicked out, you know? So,
are you wearing an Affliction shirt today?
Correct.
If so,
yeah.
There's the exit.
Exactly.
That's
no,
what you're telling
me. No throwbacks
me.
In the club, you know? So, that's a hard part. So, again, it's not that the effort's not the thing. It's just you when guys are big and tall, it's hard for them to play inside. It is. It's just you can't – you have to be able to play with good pad level, and he's going to have to really work on it now. I mean, I'm telling you, he's going to have to do 150 reps a day underneath a chute. In super low, where he's playing with a great pad level, because that's what he's going to fight. Tall people.
Can you break down technique as far as how you get there? I have no doubt Perella will be able to teach him.
Without a doubt.
It's a matter of being able to do it physically.
Right. And then once you get a little tired, you always tend to stand up a little bit. You do. And when you play an end where you don't have to worry about guys coming down on you, and you can play a little higher. Yeah, initial pad level or your initial point of attack, your pad level low, but again, you end up coming up a little bit. You just do because you have to be able to see and find the ball. But you know, if you're 6'2", you can still do that. But yet, you still have you're not worried about you're not guys worried about getting underneath you. So this tells me that they don't have much else of an option. To me, I'd rather get one of the Davis twins bulked up. Again, those guys are a little lower. You know, I don't know, but again, those guys can actually probably move a little better than Mick at my point, because with his knee and everything he's had.
So throw them on the outside.
Right. Again, we're kind of piecing some – we have this 3-4 puzzle, and we're kind of missing some key pieces of this puzzle. So they're trying to, you know, force it in here a little bit, and I hope it doesn't backfire. And I hope someone shows up this spring and this fall and kind of takes this place over. Because you don't need – and I'll be honest, you don't need – you know, an All-American. I mean, it'd be nice to have a Casey Hampton, a Holodinata. You know, mm-hmm. He played that spot for the Ravens. And what was he? Was he drafted by the Ravens? Did he play his whole career?
He's in Detroit now.
He was with the Ravens, yeah. So,
but he was a nose guard.
Yeah. With the and
almost came to Nebraska in the recruiting class.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was on a trip with him, actually.
So it's your fault.
Yeah, no, full blame. You'd want those guys, but I don't think you don't have to. Like I said, you can just have a space heater in there and just a dude that's – he don't care. He's going to walk out there looking sloppy and looking horrible in his uniform, and he don't give a damn, and he's just going to sit down there and eat up those blocks and not let anyone, you know, not get shoved back. Just take up that – just own that line of scrimmage and just say, guys, go do your thing. And he's going to shuffle off on third down, and he's going to shuffle back on and come do his thing. It's just – it's a selfless spot. It is. You got to be. It's a selfless position. You're not gonna be a stat guy, but it's a guy that's just a lunch pail position, and maybe we have someone that hasn't. It's just a great opportunity for someone to step up and
see.
Do that.
That sounds to me too, though, from a personality fit. That sounds like Mick to me. When it comes to being selfless and team first and just doing his damnedest to help the team, he might be the best candidate. You put some more weight on him. And you keep because his strength is probably the biggest asset. Mm-hmm. I mean, the dude's as strong as it gets. It sounds like
he's physically gifted. You look at him. He's got the package of, you know, your stereotypical looks like Tarzan type player.
Just a dude.
Exactly.
But the guys you've just kind of listed off, and let's think of some nose guards that have played in the 3-4. When you mentioned the I'm just going to eat space. I mean, Casey Hampton might have been at 6'3" at most.
Maybe 6'2".
Right, but he was 320.
Right. Holodi, 6'2".
Holodi, 6'1", 6'2".
Yeah.
Jim Burt.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Sexy beast.
Yeah, I played with a Braille Franklin in San Francisco. Braille was maybe 6 foot tall.
Okay, and he was 340?
Yeah, 330.
Okay.
But he made a living out of that spot.
And then Vince.
He made a career. Yeah.
Wolford.
Vince Wolford. Again, a guy. Again, you look at him, looks like a slob. You know. You know, but does the job very, very well. You know? But he goes about his business, man. He does it. And he knows his role. He's not trying to be someone else's. He knows. I'm out there for two downs, man. If it's third down and I'm still out here, it's because it's third and one or third and short. It's a goal line situation. But I do my job on first, second down. I'm getting out of there. I'm getting a swig of Gatorade, right? And I'm gonna take a puff off this oxygen tank, and hopefully, and go back there and do it again for another two plays. I mean, that's what you have. It's just those guys that have it. I mean, I'm trying to think of other great. I mean, there's so many good, you know, nose tackles. I think, you know, it'd be nice to have, you know, a guy like Vincent Valentine who'd been a good fit.
Oh, then perfect.
Right. He's a little taller. I think Vince was 6'3", but it's a fine line, honestly, between a guy that's 6'2". I mean, you think of only 2 inches, mm-hmm. but you know what? You want your D lineman to have have long arms. You don't necessarily need to have that as a guy that's playing that nose guard in the 3-4. You want kind of that short, stocky. I mean, like Tony Siragusa.
Sure,
Goose. You know, yeah. Perfect, I mean, yeah. Those guys are just. You look at him or like this guy is, you know, a NFL football player. Yeah, and because there's great ones. Those guys that do it really, really well. You look at them like, man, what a slob, what a bum. But man, they are damn good, and they know it. And
they're great at their role.
Right.
Great at their role. Okay, we will talk some more spring football. I have basketball coming up, so it's TJ and Jay. You hear Willie Nelson right now. Crank this up. All right, it's time for left-handed trivia.
Just can't wait to get on.
Get this right, get a pair of Willie Nelson tickets for June.
My love is making music.
What athlete is this? Call TJ with the best answer and appropriate answer, meaning the right answer. This four-time Pro Bowler has the most NFL passing yards as a left-handed quarterback, 37,920. He was MVP in 1988. He was one broken pass away from bringing his team to their first Super Bowl victory. He lost to the Niners 20-16. Who is this left-handed athlete? Who is he? 466-377-6800-825-5865. 1988 NFL MVP. He's a lefty. A dirty, dirty lefty. Get this answer right. Get yourself some Willie Nelson tickets for June. All right. We'll take the correct answer. TJ will have it for you.
Can you feel it?
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio Show. Schmitty had to bounce out a little early. Got a hoops game to call tonight, so he has to get well prepared. He left his headphones here, so he'll probably be back in real quick to pick them back up. But Jay Moore, TJ Henning here, shutting down a good Monday so far. Thanks to Jake Muehlheisen joining us in hour one. You heard from Coach McBride just a few segments ago.
Yeah, boys district tonight. You played high school basketball,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep, here he comes.
Do you remember any...
his headphones.
Do you remember any...
Thanks, guys. Yeah. Love you long time.
Do you remember any, like... When you were playing like a key district game, as you had?
Well, you know what? My sophomore year, we weren't very good. So my funny thing in high school basketball, I mean, Elkhorn was always, we're always so good in football. Mm-hmm. And in my sophomore year, we went state in football. And I think we only went, no BS, I think we only won like five or six games my sophomore year at Elkhorn. We were awful. I think we lost like, you know, you had your play-in game, whatever. I think we lost. My junior year, we were better. Started off the year a little rough. But we made it to the championship game and lost to South Sioux City. Hmm. And I think you want to talk about not like a lid on the rim. I think like in the fourth quarter we scored like 2 points and lost, and we were up. We had like a 10-point lead at half and just went ice cold and lost. We were going to go to state, but I remember if we had to win, we had to play like Alliance in the first round, and they had Tony Wilbrandt, that 7-footer.
Nice.
You know, it's like, ooh, that would have been a rough matchup. Yeah. But I was able to play basketball my senior year. I tore my ACL in football, so I wasn't able to play my senior year. It was a big bummer because basketball was always just fun for me because I could just I always got nervous for football, but basketball is just one of those things where I just went and had fun. Mm. Had fun with it, and it was just, you know, just go have a good time.
So my senior year hoops, our district semifinal, we were playing Beatrice and had an epic matchup with them. And
Beatrice is always good at basketball.
Yeah, Jim Weeks knew what he was doing down there, and Trevor Minkey, former Nebraska basketball walk-on, hit a three against us with like 15 seconds left.
Norris is good, too, I think, because Norris won state my senior year.
Yeah, they went back-to-back in 02 and 03.
Like the doctor kid.
Yeah.
And
Michael Stoyna was very good. Uh-huh. Zach Yelkin, some good guys there. But, yeah, so we had our heart broken in the semifinals. And so that was a tough one, just bringing up that. But let's so District Hoops tonight here on ESPN 1480. You can hear that. Also on KFOR. I didn't get to say any of my thoughts from Husker basketball.
We'll let you vent. Schmitty and I vented that first segment over that piss-poor performance from – the basketball team last night. So I know you were very disappointed last night with that performance, as anyone should be.
Yeah, I mean, out of your last four games, that was like the must win or like the easy win on your schedule, because I thought Michigan State was your toughest, and then your second toughest is Thursday at Minnesota. Mm-hmm. They've won seven in a row. And then you've yet to beat Michigan since you joined the Big Ten of basketball, so that's not going to be an easy one. So yesterday, it felt like a must win, especially if you want to get to any semblance of 500 record.
Right.
And just to lay an egg like that was just so disappointing. You know, the conversation after that Wisconsin game was, where's the program headed? And I wasn't necessarily sure about that question, because you just had a one-point loss, and then at that time, number 17 team in the nation. And I know Wisconsin didn't play well, but you didn't play well that night either, and you just lost by one in overtime. But last night, after that performance, double-digit home loss to that Illini team, yeah, I can see where the chatter is. Like, that was just, you laid an egg, and you just can't do that.
Well, it's again, and to Jake Muehlheis's credit, they play down to their talent. They play the good teams. When you beat Purdue, you beat Indiana, even though Indiana's having a down year.
Maryland.
You cancel out Indiana's home streak of like 26 games won in a row at home.
You play UCLA close.
I mean, you play Wisconsin well. You know, other than Michigan State's I'll be honest, Michigan State's just a bad matchup for Nebraska. It's a bad matchup with the squad they got out
there. And
they're
starting to peak at the right
exactly.
time.
I don't mean, listen, what day did I host? Was it last week? No, it was 2 weeks ago. We kind of got some hoops talk and talking about Miles' situation. Even last week, I think when you and I kind of did the same thing where we kind of talked about these last couple segments with Miles. I don't know. I mean, again, who's out there? You know, if you're looking to make a move, who is out there? I mean, listen, I mean, I'm not interested in a safe hire.
Another like mid-major coach. We've done the last three.
Yeah, let's make a move. You know, let's try to do something. I mean, there'll be some guys out there, and there'll be some guys you could. I mean, again, you know, do you try to go guys who've been pretty comfortable at some mid-major spots that have done damn well? You know, the Greg Marshalls. But again, I would say Wichita State's a better job than Nebraska right now.
Yeah.
So why would you leave?
Had maybe better offers to go somewhere else. And
totally.
He hasn't left.
They told Texas, I think, when Texas was looking for a guy. You know, what is Jacobson's deal over at Northern Iowa? You know. You bring him, keep Farouk Manesh on the staff, maybe, you know, there's different, but if you're going to make a move, you better bring in someone damn well deserving to turn this thing around.
Yeah, as disappointing as last night was, I still think Miles should get another year, because I just don't want to overreact every win, every loss, but it's kind of like the Golden State route. Golden State was still pretty good under Mark Jackson.
Right.
They took a risk and got rid of him, but they got better because they hired the right guy.
Right.
So, you know, potentially down the road, if Miles does finish 0-3 and finishes 12-19, like, I can understand what would happen if that's
the case. Yeah, I mean, listen, I think he's done some good things, but we talked about the youth, and I said this. I'm tired of the excuses for the basketball program. You know, we always have the youth, the inexperience. You're always going to have youth and
it's
experience.
It's always the next year for Nebraska.
Well, I know. But in college basketball, you're always going to have youth and experience anymore. The great teams that deal with the one-and-done players. Hell, they're playing four or five freshmen a year at these what is Izzo doing? He's playing four freshmen right now. What's Kentucky doing year in and year out? What's Duke doing year in and year out?
Those freshmen are different than the freshmen we get.
But they're still freshmen.
True. No, I don't.
They still have youth and experience. I get that.
Yeah.
But I'm tired. I think people are laying out too many excuses. There's some cold hard facts to look at. And I think Miles, I mean, he can be the guy. I do. But I think he needs to change some more. I do. I think the way his offense is, I mean, I don't know how he performed at Colorado State with those. I mean, he had some nice, I mean, they put out some points.
Yeah, they did.
Up there, but just hasn't, I mean, and again, for how long, I think Doc Sadler kind of dug us in a hole somehow with our offensive performances.
For sure.
We're still kind of trying to get out of it, even though there's no one left from any of those years, but the inconsistency offensively, good defensively, defensive team, but I don't have an answer to teams shooting well against us.
Yeah, and Jacobson had some really strong quotes last night, and here he is talking about what's next for this team.
To be honest, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else you can say. I feel like we've done, you know, yelling at each other, screaming at each other, and we've done the back off and be nice to each other and, you know, try and be positive. But so it's kind of hard to figure out where to go next. I know we're really running out of time here. This game was huge, and we got two, you know, other two teams, next two teams are really hot. Michigan just beat Purdue, and I think Minnesota's won seven in a row. So, yeah, I mean, I think we got to look at ourselves, look in the mirror, each guy, you know, figure out what's going on, what they want out of the rest of the season, the little bit that's left, and try and make a run, I guess.
I mean, that's interesting. We've tried the yelling. We've tried the not yelling at each other. Like,
I mean, it gets,
think they're running out of...
Well, without a doubt. Without a doubt, because I'm running out of ways to explain this team. I mean, you are. Because I'm over them. I know that. Like, I fully expect them. I think they lose their last two games. And who knows how they play in trying to play in game of the Big Ten, but it's a bad way to go. We'll be back to wrap it up.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, who backed up Jay? Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back at you one last time here on a Monday. Hail Varsity Radio Show presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Jay Moore, TJ Henning, holding it down for a few more minutes here before we say goodbye. Schmidt had to bounce out early for a little high school hoops action, get some district action now here in the eastern part of the state. You an Oscars guy there, Tej?
Occasionally.
Yeah, I've watched it before. I think I watched it last year. I think I wasn't that interested this year. I don't know anymore. I don't ever see the movies that are, like, getting awards.
I know, like, right? Like, do I not like good movies?
I'm not seeing La La Land. No, thank you. I'm going to save my money on a musical.
Apparently it's a musical, but, like, I don't think Gosling and Emma Stone, like, are singers. So, like, that's weird to me.
I don't know. Supposedly Gosling took, like, piano lessons for this movie. I saw this morning on the news or something like that for, like, 3 months and became, like...
Really?
For the movie. Yeah, and, like, did it... 7 days a week for like 3 months, like an hour or something a day. I don't know, but I mean, I kind of want to see that Moonlight movie. I would see it.
Yeah, I mean, one picture of the year.
Right.
Eventually,
is that the Casey Affleck movie? Is that the same movie? Is that
no?
The
that's
one?
Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay,
yeah.
So I'd see that one too.
But yeah, that debacle last night.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Steve Harvey just like, oh, thank you. Like,
yeah, no kidding. Like, why would you make a double copy of? Like, best actress, Emma Stone.
I don't know.
But then I saw a report on Twitter that apparently Warren Beatty, the guy who gave the award,
mm-hmm.
they were maybe practicing this yesterday. Like, this was planned.
Yeah, I did hear that. It was maybe staged.
And, like, I could kind of believe that just to get, like, more viewership / more interaction on Twitter.
Maybe.
Like, I definitely believe
that. Without a doubt. I wouldn't put it past him.
Because that Steve Harvey thing blew
right,
up.
I know.
It actually worked out for
right
him.
I know, right? I definitely wouldn't put it past him. I mean, I think that what I saw got awards that I have seen was Zootopia.
Haven't seen it.
Good. It's really good. You should watch it for an animation movie. And then documentary, OJ's documentary for ESPN got it.
That was phenomenal.
And I still, like, I've been looking for it, like, on Netflix or something like that so I can just watch it in its entirety without, but I mean, it's so long. But
it's like 8 hours.
Yeah,
right?
It's insanely long, but it's so good because I've already rewatched the FX series on OJ.
Yeah.
Like, because that's on Netflix
that
now.
That was good.
And it's crazy just going back. You miss things, but how spot on they are with some of the instances. But yeah, that OJ Made in America ESPN, that thing is, that I didn't think the FX show could have been topped, but that OJ Made in America, that was how they started. I mean, it's insane just how they were able to show his character.
I mean, obviously I've been doing radio for the last 2 years now, but when I was in college having to put together video pieces, like, I thought it was like tough, like logging just enough stuff for like a 4 to 5 minute video.
Right.
8 hours worth of trying not to forget anything.
How much tape?
Oh. Like, having to watch so many things like that, and it did take years. That's
right.
Why it took so long.
I know.
That was incredible.
No, that was definitely deserving. I mean, if that didn't win, it's like, okay.
Yeah, and then
who got paid off?
We had Mike Gilbert on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his agent.
It was his agent.
That still has, well, I don't know if he's in more, but he had the Bronco in his garage.
He did,
I mean, that's just bananas, man.
It was.
That whole thing, I was like, in sixth grade, fifth and sixth grade, and that was all going down. I mean, we stopped class to
watch. 1991?
No, 94 to like 95 and 96, I think. Yeah. We stopped class.
I thought you were a little older than me.
I'm 33.
And I'm 26. Yeah. 7 years difference?
You can do the math.
The math is not computing.
You can do the math some other time. We'll be back tomorrow. Hail Varsity. Thanks, guys.